All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is still here. And, you know, the history lesson is well appreciated and needed, because if the American people really understood all of these things that really kind of tie in together, as you've been explaining this, most of us don't know anything about that. We just saw people suffering. And we said, you know, well, man, they look like us.
Well,
we've got to save those people.
Well, the Ukrainian suffering. No, I mean, I would assert that part of the Ukrainian suffering, which was after the invasion, right? But before that invasion, we began to create the environment in which the invasion was maybe prompted, which was to arm Ukraine, to talk to Ukraine about joining NATO, and to carry out this public flirtation with Ukraine that maybe emboldened Ukraine to resist the negotiations that they would otherwise have had with Russia about settling with Russia and solving Russia's concern about safety, the security of their country. And if you get back into the history of what we talked about off the air, you know, I mean, Ukraine was part of the USSR. Everyone spoke Russian in Ukraine. Everyone spoke Russian throughout the USSR. They had their own subtextual language, ethnically speaking, in the areas where there were other languages, but Russia was the national language. And when the nationalism developed in Ukraine, after Ukraine was formally, when the USSR imploded, Ukraine became a separate country, much the way if the United States federal government imploded, each of our states would become independent until they decided how they would join up in some other regard. And so Ukraine, which had only been a separate country other than being subjugated to an empire, was only a country from 1919 to 1921. And the boundaries of Ukraine were in flux. Until 1953, Ukraine did not include the Crimea. And the Crimea was, the boundary of the, let's call it the state of Ukraine, was adjusted by Khrushchev. He was a Ukrainian by birth, was adjusted to include Crimea and to take it from the state of Russia, which was the biggest state. It was maybe Texas.
Right.
Ukraine was something more like New Mexico. And they adjusted the border between them, much the way we've read recently about the border dispute that ended up with Wisconsin not having its border run all the way down to the end of Lake Michigan like it was talked about at the time of the initial designation of state boundaries. But it didn't make that much difference. It was all going to be part of the United States. The same was true when they redrew the boundaries of Crimea. It didn't make that much difference. It was all going to be part of the USSR until it made a difference in 1991 when these things became independent republics. My only point is that the United States, by getting involved in what they did with the Ukraine, not getting involved with, for instance, Belarus or Georgia, was somehow we selected Ukraine as a place that we would get in and muddle around in this kind of unfolding of and refolding of the deck that had been the USSR, which was a unified sovereign country for 70 years.
You know, Sandy, in this article, and I'll go back and tell you who it was after I read this paragraph. Meanwhile, as a former Marine Corps general noted, war is a racket. U.S. weapons conglomerates are lining up to feed at the trough. Before the war ends, many Ukrainians and Russians will die, while Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and Northrop Grumman make fortunes. At the same time, network and cable news is replete with pundits and experts, or more accurately, military officials turned consultants whose current jobs and clients are not disclosed to viewers. What is barely reflected on our TV or internet screens or in Congress are alternative views, voices of restraint who disagree with the tendency to see compromise and negotiations as appeasement, who seek persistent diplomacy to attain an effective ceasefire and negotiated resolutions, one designed to ensure that Ukraine emerges as a sovereign, independent, reconstructed and prosperous country. That's an amazing statement that you have to really have your eyes open and your ears open and your heart open to accept that, that that could possibly be happening, right? I mean, you've got to.
Well, you have to. My epiphanies are that it is happening. And then my question after you figure out something's happening is you have to ask yourself, why is it happening? And to be honest with you, that's probably somehow the most direct explanation of why it's happening. I don't think it happens with malice of forethought. I think it happens when everyone individually realizes how their bread is buttered, and how their bread is buttered begins to affect how they think. And all that bread buttering has caused America to have this military-industrial establishment that Dwight Eisenhower worried about, because you know what? He understood bread buttering.
You know, Sandy, that...
Who did say that?
This article is in Today's Political.
Oh.
The Nation, in The Nation. And it's by Katrina Vanden Heuvel. Those who provide history and context around conflict should not be silenced or smeared.
Yeah.
She really does kind of have her finger on the pulse of what's at the root of all of this. Again, those people who she just talked about, those major corporations, they know that the American people have no clue.
You know, it's interesting how politics can make strange bedfellows, but the only politician I'm aware of who stood up and has talked like this is Rand Paul. You know?
Yeah, and he's been ostracized.
He's been ostracized by his party for doing it. But, you know, maybe in fact he was exercising some degree of political bravery and by my dad's favorite word, perspicacity. You know, he was looking at things carefully. But I think when you look at this situation carefully and you figure out and you have the epiphany that it's happening and why and how unpragmatic it is from the standpoint of actual national interest and how unpragmatic it is from the standpoint of the interest of the people, then you have to say, well, then why the dickens is it happening? And the only answer can be because it's buttering people's bread.
But you know, Sandy, it's Americans who love the country and who are willing to send their offspring off to die for these types of things because they really do believe in it. And they think that all of this is true and real.
Well, I think that you're talking now about good people. Good people tend to jump in up to their hips in what they view as good causes. And
right.
Patriotism is something that is a good thing in a nation, right? It's expected that we will all be patriots and stand up for our nation. And we have defined patriotism in this country to be the process of buying our foreign policy hook, line, and sinker and defending it against all criticism, because a criticism of our national international policy is a criticism of America. And we
right.
don't allow that. In fact, since World War II, we've basically required that international affairs be a bipartisan matter. And I bought into that, too. It's like, well, I guess we do have to stand together. But you know what? We need to have some process for figuring out what our foreign policy should be before we're required to put our suits on and defend it.
Well, and I guess, Sandy, it's the fact that in a representative government, we've got these people in the form of government that we have. The average person doesn't have any say so in this.
Exactly. You know, and we would talk about Putin being an autocrat and deciding what the foreign affairs of Russia are and what an evil that is. But we have our foreign affairs decided someplace. We don't know where that place is, and we don't know exactly who the people are who do it. And I would assert that it's not really decided by an individual or even a committee of individuals, but it is decided by a bunch of people who know where their bread is buttered.
But if what this article is saying is true, and it is, then we're in no position to point the finger at anybody else as a nation when we talk about the injustice that takes place. I mean, we're condemning Russia and And what they're doing in here, we're benefiting. We're picking up the pieces.
Well, that's, once again, a question of how the sun, the moon, and the stars line
got
up.
Got to where they are, yeah.
Well, and if they line up in the right way, then you can justify what you're doing. So, Russia's invasion was a violation of international law. Russia's invasion created a David and Goliath circumstance. So it's easy to understand how sympathies are generated. The real question for me is, how did we get to that point?
Hey Sandy.
Yeah.
Our invasion of Iraq
same
was
deal.
The same, right?
Same deal.
So we're really in no position morally to point the finger at anybody.
Well, we believe that we do things both as a matter of right and for the
because we're the United States of America
and to serve justice. Okay, okay. It sounds a little bit like a superhero.
Yeah.
And I think we have sort of a superhero view of ourselves. Maybe the United States, in some respects, is a trademark for Marvel Comics. Yeah.
So it doesn't make us traitors, right? To have this kind of a conversation. I don't think it does.
Well, I'm certainly know in my heart I'm not a traitor. I know in my heart that what I want is for America to do the right thing and to do the right thing for its people and for the world. So, yeah, I think as a matter of patriotism, the right thing to do is to stand up for your beliefs in that respect, and hopefully everyone standing up for their beliefs will end up in a national and international policies which are for the good.
And you know, Sandy, if we're willing to have the conversation and as a nation and point out things that are good and right by our nation, it's a better world for everybody, right?
And I think that when we look backwards in time and you look at actual clearly defined despots like Hitler, I think it's clear to say that if the people had been much more involved and had involved themselves more and had expressed their own moral principles and values, it would never have gotten to the point it did. But they were led, much like we are being led, with the song of patriotism. You do this for the fatherland. And everyone stood up and raised their right arm.
And both Democrats and Republicans. Not one side.
Right.
It's both of them. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.